Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney and Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had another tremendous week. The Sambo of the Year Award was given out this week, and we had four people, and it was close. It was one of the closest Sambo's award of the year. The nominees were Mayor Marcus Muhammad from Benton Harbor, a well-known sellout. He's known all over the country as being the number one Sambo, but he was he was part of that. Then we have our very own black judge by the name of Mayfield, Judge Mayfield. I don't call her a judge. She's a slime ball, but she was also nominated for the Sambo of the Year Award. And then we have the chief of police here, McGinnis. And he's definitely a Sambo. He does very little to help this community. Basically what he's doing, he's getting free money. They're paying him to exactly do nothing. He do exactly nothing. Women, now this is important because women has been sexually attacked, and this guy had refused to even turn it in to the prosecutor office. And what he do, then he lied to the people, claiming that the officer either left or got sick and was unable to return. So for 3 years, that's been his excuse on several things. So he definitely was in the running for the Sambo of the Year Award. And then we have our very own city manager, Ellis Mitchell. He's 83 years old, still the same, and a city man. And what he do? He sleeps on the job. I mean, I'm talking about actually sleeps on the job. Yeah, we was having a conference with the governor office by Zoom, and they discovered by doing that process, he was asleep. They kept calling his name, and he was asleep, and he could not answer. But the Sambo of the Year Award is a very prestigious award here in the state of Michigan, and it goes all over the country. And what's so important about it, what we're doing, we're calling out all these sellouts. You see, these are the people that had destroyed our community and going to continue to do it. Over 400 years since we've been here, and getting still, it's going to be another 400 years before we actually be free if we don't get this thing right. And I want to say that it was a tight race for the Sambo of the Year Award for 2021. And the winner was the mayor of Benton Harbor, Mayor Marcus Muhammad. He won the Sambo of the Year Award. And the reason why he won it, he's a real professional butt kisser. He be looking for white butts to kiss. And he goes all over looking for butts to kiss. He loves these white folks. He loves them, and he's a Muslim, bro. Nobody would believe that this guy would help destroy the city of Benton Harbor for white folks. But, yeah, all they said for a few dollars more. And anytime you become materialistic, you know there's a problem. He walk around here with these old $100 suits, and they about to fall off of him. And he think that he's actually doing something. But, yeah, the people is more important than you because our children is far more important than you. Our children are the future, whether we like it or not, it is. You know, the struggle that has taken place in recent years in Benton Harbor is a case in point, one that holds a number of lessons for the American people. The fight in Benton Harbor is a war. This is no conflict. is over whether America will have prosperity and democracy or live in poverty on the heels of open corporate rule. See, they think that everybody has a price. And that's why we have so many Sambos running around here. They believe that every single black person has a price. And I tell you this, I definitely disagree, but it's just so many Sambos out here that we don't know which way is up. We don't know what we're going to do. But I want to play this short. Absolutely, absolutely. We have to walk away from these punkified Negroes. But today I want to talk a little bit about racism before I bring on my first guest. We don't talk about racism as much as we should. Barron County is one of the most racist communities there is probably in the world. And they're proud of it. We have a black judge over here, and she's not worth a nickel. I wouldn't even call her a judge. She's just here. We have a white clerk here who would lie for any reason. She's a liar. Her name is Sharon Tyler. She's a liar, and that's what she do. They don't mind lying. They will lie in a minute over anything and get away with it. She took the stand in my trial and was lying through her teeth, and they knew she was lying. But it's okay when white folks lie because they protect each other. We the ones who don't protect each other. We're so busy trying to be like them that we have destroyed ourselves almost. But we're coming around. It's going to take a thing because, hey, if there's a revolution, some of us, we're going to have to shoot some of our own people. Because they will be out here supporting these liars. They're liars. They think lying is okay. They think lying is that's what they do. Nobody should be in a position where they can hurt another group of people. You can't even go to the courthouse here. You got almost 150% chance of being convicted when there's no evidence. You got a chance where you're going to have an all-white jury. And it was so bad, the racism is so bad here, that they just don't care. Think about this hospital, Lakeland Hospital. They kill more black babies there than anywhere that's per capita, than anywhere probably in the whole wide world. And nobody's saying nothing. Because black folks ain't going to say nothing. They scared to death. only thing that they good to do is get on Facebook and make these idiotic comments and think they're saying something, think they're doing something. This is the world that we live in today. This is the world that we live in today. This is what we're fighting. War is hell. But we have to make sure we're doing it not for ourselves, but for the future of our children. That's where we have failed at. We must stand up to these evil, wicked people. We're surrounded by these evil, evil, wicked people. When I say evil and wicked, I mean exactly that. These white devils are everywhere. You know, and we sit around here trying to be just like them. Just like these devils. It's unfortunate. Racism is alive and well. And we play right along with it. I hate to see kissing up to these devils, knowing that they don't like you, knowing that they don't like you, knowing that they don't like you, don't want you around, unless they can get something out of you. If they can't get nothing out of you, they ain't going to mess with you no way. If you ain't got something they want, that they want, they not going to mess with you no way. So why would you kiss up to someone who had destroyed your race and think it's all right? And here's the thing. They will lie over anything and get away with it. I watched them take the stand and lie. Because I knew it wasn't the truth. They knew it wasn't the truth. But it's always all right. These devils will lie in a minute. This Sharon Tyler, she is a piece of work. An ugly. That is one ugly woman. I tell you, they talking about Eleanor Roosevelt was ugly. That Sharon Tyler is an ugly woman. And I don't call people ugly. I don't do it. But this woman is ugly. She can work in a donut factory. That's right. Man, unbelievable. But we have to change the way we do business. We can no longer sit back and allow these people to continue to destroy us. And see, they have a formula. See, when you want to destroy a race of people, you attack the educational system. See, that gives them the inability to think when you do that. And they did it here in the city of Benton Harbor 20 to 25 years ago or longer. And that's why we got what we have today. Nobody can be as stupid as the elected officials that we have in office today. It's not even possible. But they know what they got. They know what they got. Black people walk around talking about, I went to school with him. That makes him all right. How stupid can we be? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Nobody is that stupid. See, Mr. Farrakhan laid it on the line. Only Marcus is not listening. He's supposed to be a Muslim brother, but I think they kicked him out. I believe that they kicked him out because I know he don't go to no meetings or nothing no more. They closed his the shop down here. And you brothers here, you Muslim brothers, you supposed to handle that situation. I grew up in Chicago, and I know for a fact Muslims don't allow people, they brothers and sisters to be butt kissers. And this guy is a professional butt kisser. He be looking for a butt to kiss every day. That's what he do. Man, unbelievable. But we have to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. This stuff is serious. It's no game. We done wasted too many years. And yet still, we still in this compromising position that we in today. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Who would believe what is happening in the black community? And racism is everywhere. It's all over the country. And the only reason it can exist is if we allow it. We allow them to get away with this stuff. Sometimes somebody is going to have to stand up and say no more. I got a full house today, and I want to make sure I get everybody in. I got to bring in my good friend from St. Louis, Missouri, my main man, the one and only Dr. Tucker, but he calls himself Red. Dr. Tucker, Red, talk to me. How you doing today?
How you doing, Reverend Pena?
You know me. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking and calling these sellouts out. That's all I want to do.
That's very good. I commend you for that, Reverend Pena. I mean, you're doing what you have to do. It's important for all conscious black men to sound the alarm. We must tell our story unedited without shame. We must tell the truth, Reverend Pena, what you're doing. And the truth will set us free. But you got to understand this, Reverend Pena. Nobody's going to help us but us. We
right.
cannot depend on the individuals you talked about to help us. We can't depend on the Democratic Party, Republican Party, and those unconscious white people to help us. So we have to save ourselves. So we got to start focusing on us, on us. We have to focus on us. If we don't focus on us, we're going to lose the war. We're going to lose the battle in the war. So it's important that we do that. I heard you talk about the white devil. I think it's important to point out to your audience that all whites are not evil. You had people
That's
like
right.
Elijah Lovejoy in the St. Louis area, in Alton, Illinois. He printed a newspaper and exposed all of the even corruption that the white people were doing against black people. And, of course, they destroyed his press. They burned his press down, and they also killed him. You got people like John Brown who just refused to allow them to keep blacks in slavery. So he took up arms against the white folks. He ended up being dying himself in the end. You got people like William Lloyd Garrison who was abolitionist. You know, we got to teach about those good white people because white people have an obligation to do the right thing, and we got to hold them accountable for not doing the right thing by exposing them like you're doing. And you got people like Harriet Beecher Stowe who wrote Uncle Tom Cabin, you know what I mean? And she really told the story of Uncle Tom, and Uncle Tom wasn't that sellout, but he was that good. He was that slave who helped other slaves escape to freedom. And so, you know, we got to tell the truth because our history is all messed up, Reverend Pena, and it's really sad. And that's what the critical race theory is about. They don't want us to know our history, and they're trying to hide their history of all the even corruption they've done against us. So, you know, we just got to focus on the right thing, focus on educating our people, because the key thing is, Reverend Pena, those people you talked about, they're sick. They need help.
Yeah.
They're not healed from racism, discrimination they face. And, of course, you know, we got to stop blaming them and try to give them some help because they need some real serious help, you know. They suffer from post-traumatic slave syndrome. When they think they're doing good, they're actually doing bad in terms of hurting their own people. So they got the issue and problem. So we have to pray for them and hope that God will wake them up or give them some help so they can start helping their people and doing the right thing.
Or God will remove them, one or the other, you know. And what you said about that, the critical race theory is important because they don't want people to know how evil and wicked that they were. That's the only reason why they don't want it taught in school is because what it does, it exposes them to who they really are. And a lot of black folks don't even know how bad these folks have been. And like you said, there's a lot of good white folks. I had a lot of wonderful white folks supporting me. I mean, when I was in prison, I probably got over 25,000 letters. And I would say, look, listen to this. I would say maybe 22,000 or more came from white folks, you know, that wrote me. Black people didn't write me no letters. Right? People, black people didn't send me no money. It was mostly white folks. And you're absolutely correct. And I appreciate that, you know. A very wealthy white lady came from here, from this area, wrote me a letter. She did, her husband and her children wrote me a letter. And she told me, she said, you know what? She said 33% of the people that live in Barron County are really, really good people. She said that. And I had to take it from her because she wrote me to say this. But she said 67% are evil and racist. And she said that 67% overpowers the 33%, and that gives them 100%. I, you know what, it blew my mind because I was not expecting her to say that as I was reading the letter at the end. And even her, she said, they're rich, she said. But she's scared of these folks, too. He said, they'll come after her. And I said this to myself, wow. I would never think for a moment if you had money that you would be afraid to speak out and speak up and being a white person. This is, I mean, this the evilness here is unbelievable. I mean, it's so evil. But it's not just here. It's all over the country. You know, but most of this stuff is some of this is our fault, too. We don't say nothing. Sometimes you have to take a bullet to deal with these folks, to get them to understand that we're willing to fight. You got to be willing to fight.
That's true. And people, some of them, that's one of the problems we face in the community. You know, a lot of times we point a finger at our leaders, but those leaders are not really qualified to deal with our people. They do more harm than good. And that's what's happening in Benton Harbor, Michigan. What you're dealing with, the people you talked about are dealing with the residual of traumatic slave syndrome. So therefore, those are some sick people who are not willing to help the people in the community and help and do the right thing. So they're suffering from post-traumatic slave syndrome. That's the residual or post-traumatic slave syndrome when those individuals don't know who they are and doing the wrong thing. So they need some real serious help, Reverend Pena. That's a fact.
Yeah.
They have mental health issues. So you can call it the way it is.
Yeah, and I strongly agree with you because I would say that there's got to be something wrong with you. They may not know this affects their own children too. You see,
in future generations,
now the future and their present children, it affects them because now what you're saying is all right to miseducate my children, to not allow them to get a good education, and that's the first tool in their toolbox that they use, doctor, because they use that because they take away that thinking ability, you know, that critical thinking. See, that's one of the things I see in my community right now that we lack. We lack that critical thinking ability to go beyond what we see. If you can't see it in the black community, most of the time it's not happening. So I know you know because you're an educator, and I know that about you. Talk to me about that.
Well, first of all, this is the month of January, and every church in this country should have been talking about Watch Night. And Watch Night was basically when the slaves stayed up all night long waiting for Abraham Lincoln to sign the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863. Although he only freed the slaves in the southern states, but once he and the Secretary of State signed the Emancipation Proclamation, slaves were declared free in the rebellious state. And that is why we celebrate January 1st, 1863. Now, every school, every university, and all the churches, black and white churches, should be talking about Watch Night and what December 31st and January 1st mean to the United States of America. Once that Emancipation Proclamation was signed, when in effect slaves started leaving the South, going to the North to join the Union Army, and, of course, in the beginning, they would not allow them to fight in the army. So, therefore, it took them a while before they allowed them to fight. But eventually, they allowed them to fight in the army. And even today, you got to understand that they would not have won that war if it had not been for those black colored units. I mean, they're responsible for the North defeating the South in the Civil War. That's very, very important. And so that takes us to where we are today with the Juneteenth, which is June 19th, 1865. Supposedly, the last slave was freed on January 1st, 1863, and that's the biggest lie I've been told. They were only freed in June 19th, 1863. They were mainly freed in Galveston, Texas. But it was not until on about December 6, 1865, when the 13th Amendment to the Constitution was passed, and that is when slaves were freed, supposedly. But, you know, that was also another issue related to the language in there that actually made, you know, they put us in prison and made us slaves in prison. But to make a long story short, I just want to talk briefly about the Juneteenth movement. It's important for your audience and all citizens to know about the Juneteenth legislation and law. I've been involved in the event along with Dr. Ron Miles, who passed in 2018. And, of course, he founded the National Juneteenth Observance Foundation. And for 27 years, we were actually involved in lobbying with the legislators, getting states to pass ordinances and making a holiday in 47 states. And that is how Juneteenth became a holiday. But as we talk about history, we have individuals out there, a guy by the name of Steve Williams, who came on the scene when Dr. Ron Meyer was sick in 2018. I met him a few months before that. And he took advantage of Dr. Myers on his deathbed. And Dr. Meyer was sick, and he was so sick he could not make decisions. So you got a guy up there, my name is Steve Williams, and I'll call him by his name, Steve Williams. He took advantage of Doc when he was sick, and once again on his deathbed, he stole up his personal and intellectual property. Now he wants to claim that he is responsible for Juneteenth becoming a holiday and along with some other things. And that's the biggest lie I've been told. He's distorting history. And he's trying to work with those people in Texas who want to use Juneteenth to promote the state of Texas. And that's the worst thing they can do, because Texas is the worst state in the country right now. They passed voter suppression laws and other laws to take us back to where it was before the Reconstruction era. So it's important for us to know our history. It's important for us not to support Texas until Texas take action to give African Americans a right to vote and stand up and speak out for African American voting rights. This year in 2022, they're going to be trying to get as many people to Texas as possible. And I say to all country's brothers and sisters, do not travel on bus, train, airplane, and stay in a hotel down there, because that's one of the reasons why those conservative white people made it a holiday. They knew it would only benefit the white people, and black folks talking about celebrating. We have nothing to celebrate. Because why? Because Juneteenth is not about a celebration. It's about the 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment, 15th Amendment. And that is abolishment of slavery, citizenship, and a right to vote, Reverend Pinkney. And it's so important, and I stress again, it's so important for African Americans to understand there's nothing to celebrate. We got to continue to focus on having our civil and human rights in the United States of America. You experience that by going to prison with those people lying to you and then saying, you know, you're a citizen, yet they didn't protect your rights. And I'm going to shut up there. I'm going to just be quiet there a minute and just because I've said a lot, but hopefully this is being recorded. It's going to be a part of history. And, of course, we must expose the evildoers like you're doing. At the same time, we got to focus on healing our people. That's the only solution. Because slavery, after the laws, we did not get an ounce of help in terms of healing our people. So we got to heal ourselves. We got to focus on helping ourselves.
Absolutely. And you said something that was real powerful. You said there's a group of people that's trying to profit of the Juneteenth situation, the group that Dr. Myers, he's deceased. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, yeah. They have a bank account that they would not tell a family where it is. They have they collected money in the name of the legal and original NGOF, and, of course, they must be held accountable. And that's why I've been sounding the alarm, and I will continue to sound the alarm until they're held accountable, because we must hold not only white people accountable, but also black people accountable when they're doing the wrong thing.
Absolutely.
And
it's
not going to happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. It sounds like those Williams and them, they could have been nominated for the Sambo of the Year Award, because I see where they're going with that, which is unfortunate that we as black people have to deal with it. You know what? It's a shame that we always have to watch black folks, knowing that, you know, when we're trying to do something good, you know, there's always evil present. And just for a few dollars, you see, everybody trying to make money off of what they do than rather just doing something. And it's very, very unfortunate. But why do we have to think like this, Red? Why do we have to think? Why can't we just start building for the future of our children and our race? Why can't we do that and just keep it moving instead of trying to be so clever and want to be more materialistic so we can buy ourselves more stuff? It's shameful and disgraceful.
Well, you're absolutely right, Brother Pinky. I mean, people should learn from the experience of the three billionaires in Chicago, the famous athletes. They have all this money, And yet they're still not happy because they cannot do what they want to do. They're being controlled by whom? The people who are paying them. So it's important to understand that you can have all the money in the world, you can have all the materialistic things in the world, but unless you have a peace of mind, unless you heal from the traumatic experiences we had in this country, from racism, Jim Crow laws, the lynchings and killing and police killing, we're going nowhere. So we got to focus on healing ourselves of the thing. That's what we got to focus on. And we gotta work with each other. We got to start respecting each other, speaking to each other, and communicating with each other. They want us divided. They want us talking about each other like, you know, like I'm talking about Steve Williams. But on the other hand, we must tell the truth. I have nothing against him. It's just the idea I refuse to allow our history to be distorted.
But you know what? But, you know, I know they love to hear us talking about these guys because it shows division. But somebody got to do it. We cannot continue to allow these people to do things to not just to you and I, but to the whole race and the future. See, that's what we're fighting. We're not fighting this person as an individual. What we want to do is send a message to others that it's not going to work and you're going to be called out. And that's one of the reasons why the Sambo Award is so important, so that way this guy could be labeled. You know, even, you know, I don't like to bring the children into, but they, you know, when you talk about stuff like this, how do you sell out folks and think it's all right? And here you go. So take a picture with the governor and put it on your Facebook first. Now I'm talking about if you died tonight and this would be the highlight of your life. Is, I mean, what kind of mess is that? You know, what are we going with that, Doc? What are we doing? How come we, you know, it's been 400 years, and we're still in a very compromising position today. There's no excuse for where we at today and where we should be, you know. And it's the reason why we got too many sellouts, too many.
Well, it's much deeper than that, Reverend Pinda. You know, we allow our oppressors, the people in the school system, to educate our kids. And we allow, for an example, you get a first black superintendent, a first black this and a first that, black that. And yet, when they get those positions, they only look out for themselves and their families. They're not willing to stand up for the black students and the white students and make sure that they know the history and also that proper history is taught in the school system. You also have in the school system that are working directly for our oppressor, our enemies. They go along with, you know, not working with our kids, but the public schools and putting them in the prison pipeline schools. You know what I mean? And this is totally wrong. If they're black and conscious black, they should not be suspending those kids. They should be working with those kids, ensure that our kids are getting properly educated. And that is not happening. Now, as a teacher for 20 plus years, I learned they always hire the teachers who went along to get along in most cases, one not going to speak up, not going to sell out, but at the same time, those are the ones that are holding us back. One thing I learned, you know, from the time I was in the system to the time they tried to fire me, and thank God I was getting tenure the night they were going to fire me, and I was a basketball coach playing in the semifinals of the state championship. We beat the number one team, but they had planned to fire me at night. But once I got tenure, and I found out about it, I made them aware of all. I made them aware that it is my job and my responsibility to educate our students, and it's their job also to make sure our kids are properly educated, learn about black history, African history. But these things are not happening. The result of that, Reverend Ping, that is hurting us. And parents should be ashamed of themselves for sending their kids to schools where they're not learning about black history, not learning proper history, and allowing these people to send their kids, suspend them, and send them to those alternative schools. They're nothing but pipelines of prison, and they're not getting the proper education. So, Reverend Pinkner, we got a lot of work to do. And, of course, when I say work, I'm not talking about physical work. I'm talking about emotional, and I'm talking about racial, I mean, you know, emotional help. And also we got to focus on healing ourselves from the things we've experienced in this country.
Absolutely. You know, I agree with you 100%, Doc, because I know how we are. And, you know, there always should be a healing process, which we have never been through or went through. I remember once my dad, he was a chemist, and he would go to work. He'd be like, he was the only black there, and he would come home like he'd be so angry, you know, and his thing was, he didn't want us to be like that. He said, I want to make sure that you guys go to school, but understand when you're going to school that you understand the system more than anything else. He said, you can't defeat this system unless you understand the system. And I thought that was some good words that he had applied to me and two of my brothers, because we was all around the same age. And we was always together. He would always talk to us, tell us little stories and stuff like that. And it really, really, really rung a bell with me, because he was a pretty smart guy. He kind of like knew anything that we thought that we was about to do. Seemed like he already knew we was going to do it. So he always had us, you know, always had us bound and knew exactly what we do. But my thing is this. Black people, we got to change. We got to get better. Until we get better, we're going to continue up this same alley. And it's crucial that people understand that, you know, it's going to take healing. You think for one moment that they will allow us to get healed? See, a black person think if you go see a psych or something like that, you know, that you're mentally ill. But not true. Sometimes you just need to go talk and get it out of your system, you know. And I think everybody who went to prison or been in prison need to, you know, before they get out, need to go to talk to a psych, whether it's inside the prison or outside the prison, so they can get healed. Because you have to get healed again once you've been in prison, because what they do, they break you down to your lowest terms. They strip you butt naked and look all up your butt, and ain't nothing in this world you can do about it. Ain't nothing. They tell you to go to bed at 8 o'clock. You're going to bed at 8 o'clock. They cut the lights off and the TV off at 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock. And it's a mental thing. But we as human beings, as a black race that's been initiated through slavery, our forefathers and everybody that we have to take the time out and get healed. We need to get healed. And materialistic things, you know, we have to know there's something more important than driving a nice car. There's something more important than having a nice house. The most important thing that we can do is build a foundation for the future of our children and our children's children to build upon. That's where we have failed at. We're failing right there. That's where we're failing at, because we just don't get this. My children is more important than me. My grandchildren is more important than me. My great-grandchildren are more important than me. My job is to build the foundation so they can watch and understand exactly what is going on. Until we get that message out there, it's going to continue just like this. We have to learn to move self out the way and fight these folks.
Well, I'm thinking down on that, but, you know, there is a solution, and, you know, we need to also focus on solutions. You know, we have
absolutely.
Medicare and Medicaid, and I strongly encourage my brothers and sisters to use those benefits. Don't be afraid to tell your doctor that you need to talk to someone about what you need and what your needs are, because there are professionals out there, and, I mean, make sure you get a conscious professional, black person, white person, who can help you work through things, or that's a process of healing. I didn't realize I really need help until I went to, you wouldn't believe this, until I went to combat in war. I was in the Gulf War, and I came back, and I was going through so much. And finally, I broke down. I didn't want to do it as a black man, but I went to the VA, and I saw a therapist. And from that day on, I started healing process that helped me to understand who I am. I already knew I was, but it just raised awareness, Reverend Pinkin, that made me a stronger and better person. They gave me tools to work with, to be a better person. And, you know, I feel 100% better about that. And I encourage all brothers and sisters out there, don't be afraid to get help to start this healing process, because what happened to us did not happen today. It happened over 400 years ago. It's been passed down from one generation to the next. And that's how we're going to start the process of becoming whole and also healing and making things better for future generations.
Absolutely. And you know what? That is really powerful because, you know, we got to be healed. And it started 400 years ago. And people need to know that. And, you know, the biggest thing that I see, once someone become elected official, you see, then they think for reason unknown that these white folks like them. That goes back to slavery and all this kind of stuff. We want white folks to like us. I don't. I don't want you to like. Matter of fact, to me, this is not a popularity contest. You see, when you start thinking this is a popularity contest, then you really do need help. But I will say this to each and everyone that's listening today. Let's figure out a way how we're going to make 2022 better. And let's think about building. And this is something that we... Mm-hmm.
As I said before, what you're saying is absolutely true. You know, I live in St. Louis, and one thing I can say about St. Louis, we have to heal ourselves. We got to get the politicians, the people in position to do the right thing. For example, we have a mayor, Tashara Jones, an African-American female. We have Kim Gardner, like the district attorney. And they've attacked them because they're doing the right thing. But guess what happens is all them doing the right thing. The crime rate has decreased, and the city is getting better because they're focusing on the people and not focusing on the money.
There you go. And that's beautiful. But listen, Doc, I'm going to have to let you go. But, hey, I really, really appreciate you. You always number one, and I love you so much. Tell your wife I say hey. Tell your son I say hey. And, listen, let's talk soon because – Let's make things happen this year, and I'm with you 100%, my brother. When I say 100%,
okay.
I mean exactly that.
Well, we gotta work together in order to help ourselves. That's the only way we're gonna do it. We have to do it for ourselves.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. All right, my brother. Let's talk soon, and we gotta move on.
Stay strong,
right,
Reverend.
Now, you know me. It's going down. That's all I can tell you. All right now. All right. That's my good friend, Dr. Tucker, better known as Red the Man. Let me bring in my good friend from Detroit, the one and only Marcina Cole. Marcina Cole, talk to me.
Hey, Reverend Pinkney. Listen, a lot of stuff is going on. I just want to touch on first real quick about the last year, January 6th, insurrection. At the U.S. Capitol. More information is developed about the government being a part of that. The politicians, the right-wing extremists had been involved in the insurrection of the United States Capitol, and people had died. And so we had a civil war, and now it's out there about a second civil war out here. We're in trouble. Dealing with these crazy white folks out here who want to take over the government, and basically it's treason. And I don't see no long-term prison for any of these people who they gather and said they had would partake in the coup at the U.S. Capitol. I don't see any of that. They able to walk around and as if nothing has happened. And it's dangerous for us all over this country where these white folks can go out there and kill folks at will and nothing happens to them. And then I found out the FBI was also instrumental in the insurgents and also with Governor Whitmer with the attempted kidnapping of her in the state of Michigan. There was an FBI agent who collaborated with the people that were involved in the plot to kidnap and kill her. And so we're dealing with this all over the country where these federal agents are a part of trying to turn to have this country upside down, destroy democracy. So we have to be in watch with that. Moving on is the state of Michigan with the COVID-19 cases. obviously across the country it has been an increase because people are not doing what they should do. They're letting the guard down, not wearing a mask, not being vaccinated, not washing their hands, not practicing social distancing, just doing their thing out in the public places, all because Walensky, she's head of the CDC, and she's basically, you know, telling folks, having sending disinformation about, you know, going to public places, you know, shortening the time for quarantine when a person has tested positive with COVID. So she's doing all this stuff, and you got some medical officials out here are really upset with Walensky, and I say she needs to get fired because we have an increase of cases across this country with COVID-19. We got the Omicron. They call it Omicron, same thing. That's the new variant. It overseeded the Delta. So we have that. It has over 40 mutations, crown, and you find a lot of people and across the country, over 42 hospitals out here that has a flood of COVID cases, and that includes Omicron that's going on right now as we speak. So we don't have it under control. The COVID tests, there need to be more of those to indicate, you know, who is carrying this this virus and don't know it, because some people are asymptomatic, don't have the they don't have the symptoms like others do. Now, if they had a Delta, if it was a Delta variant that affected a person, then they would have more symptoms like the fever and the chills, muscle aches, you know, something serious like that, a shortness of breath. No taste or smell. With the Omicron, they have mild symptoms, and it's like a cold or flu. So they have to determine and run a test when a patient goes to the hospital, you know, what type of variant it is. But so far across the nation, it, when it comes down to Omicron, they have not been in the intensive care unit. The people, according to the medical staff in various hospitals across the country, the people said the ones who that were basically admitted to intensive care unit, majority of them weren't vaccinated. So they said that the vaccine has helped somewhat when it came down to the seriousness of the COVID. We're still dealing with it. People need to do their part, and it won't spread like it's doing. They wear their mask, depends on what type of mask you wear, the thickness of the mask, and make sure that you are safe and everybody else is safe, you know, and that's not happening. Like I said, we need more tests in the state of Michigan. We have over a million confirmed cases of COVID-19, and over 27,000 people have died in the state of Michigan of the COVID-19. Also, I want to bring up, say, a little small southern town in France. It's a small amount of people, but it's a new variant, but it's actually mutated over 40 mutations, and that's a concern. It's called the IHU. And so, and then there's another one that they're watching, a variant, and it's a combination of the Omicron and Delta. So that means that would be a stronger type variant that can affect people more seriously than the Omicron. So they keep a watch on that. That's something new out here. So we see there are going to be variants all over the world. It's so many of them, you can't, I mean, they naming them and giving all the different names and all that, but you cannot stop the mutation. So they're looking at it, some of the researchers, medical staff, scientists or whatever, they're keeping a watch on these, that's what's going on with the various new variants are coming out. And when I hear about it, you know, bring it to the attention of this radio show. And I want to say this, Michigan has some antiviral medication to treat COVID-19 patients. It's here, but it's only for people who have symptoms like 5 days or whatever, you know, 1 to 5 days, and they can catch it in time. They have it like in a pill form. So that's what's been going on. They've been talking about this pill form to prevent people from being on the ventilator, prevent them being hospitalized. But you can't wait like for weeks and decide to go get checked at a medical facility. We already know the hospitals are overwhelmed with COVID patients across the nation. And so we have issues where people who are sick with cancer and other serious illnesses or were scheduled to have surgery, they can't even have to put them on the side because of what's going on with COVID. While we need to do our part so we won't flood these hospitals, the staff, the medical staff is overwhelmed. And then their staff, they're catching COVID-19 or Omicron, and they can't come to work. So we're dealing with the airlines. We're dealing with the various stores out here where they short of staff because they have contracted the COVID-19. It's just plain and simple. Do your part, you know, cover your nose and mouth with an adequate mask and practice social distancing, you know what I'm saying? So and vaccinate for those who can vaccinate, you know, their body can take a vaccine. You know, just do your part and it won't spread. And the problem is, Reverend Pinckney, we've got people who have been vaccinated, third shot, the booster, and they had contracted, you know, COVID-19.
So it's been quite a bit of them. It's been quite, mostly like most of the people now that have taken the shot is catching it.
Well, they're catching it, and then well, it's like a mild type symptoms or whatever, but some have led to them being hospitalized because they had pre-existing conditions. And then I don't know the percentage of death, but there have been people who have died who had, you know, had their shots or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But so it's a lot going on, and with that Omicron, it spreads so fast. You can walk past somebody and catch it within minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
absolutely.
It's not as dangerous as other other variants that's out here that's been out.
And you are
while,
absolutely
now,
right. Listen, you got about 60 seconds. I got to move on. So tell us what you want everybody to know.
Well, I want everybody to basically to be safe out here. You know, watch your back. We got the white supremacists out here. We got the COVID still here, the global pandemic. And just don't let our guard down and protect our family, protect ourselves, you know, and be sure to wear your mask and wash
absolutely
your hands.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Amen. Way to go. Make sure you wear a mask. All right, then we'll talk soon. That was my good friend from beautiful Detroit. Let me bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. Let's talk to me, the one and only Belinda Parker Brown. You ask me again, I knock you down. Talk to me, Belinda Parker Brown.
Hey, Pastor Pinckney, I'm really enjoying the show, especially Dr. Tucker and my good friend Marcina out there in Detroit. She's holding it down with her fantastic report on what people really need to be doing to protect themselves from these we call it this colonized pandemic. You know, I have been sick, and my grandkids, my daughter, the whole school
not
got
it. Not with the COVID. Not with the COVID, girl.
Yes, Pastor. Well, the COVID and you know, everybody that haven't been, you know, out and about, it don't matter. you know, because I don't go nowhere. You know, if I get it, anybody can get it. But this stuff is serious out here. You know, people really need to, you know, protect themselves from it. And I'm just listening to the show, Pastor Pinckney. I'm excited that you got all of them Sambo awards. I was hoping you can name a first, second, and third, and fourth place. But you know, I was glad to hear that you gave Marcus first place because you know, you are absolutely right. He deserved the top on the list. So.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I played a clip from Minister Louis Farrakhan earlier, and he was saying exactly that. And I'm shocked that he haven't came out and said something about this situation because, it's, you know, even if you watch this guy on TV, you know that he's a sellout mm-hmm. just by listening to him talk. You know, and it's unfortunate. Most of the time where I come from, Muslims, they wouldn't tolerate this stuff. Now it look like they tolerate anything. I'm really confused.
Well, you know, Dr. Tucker said it best, you know, just listening to him is that, you know, mm-hmm. what it all boils down to is that, you know, whether or not we're going to organize and mobilize and do what it is we have to do to protect ourselves. And that's something that I've been really going into the new year, Pastor Pinckney. I hope that I will have an opportunity to, you know, share our plan, our strategy to do that for the year of 2022 because it's just time. I mean, you know, we can't wait another 400 years. You know, I believe that, you know, a lot of our people are ready for some real good leadership now. It's just going to take us, you know, really stepping up and exposing those leaders, getting rid of those corrupt leaders, getting no matter if they black, white, or whoever they are, Republican, Democrat, it don't matter. We have to begin to expose these people and take our country, you know, in the direction that we want it to go as a people. You know, and one of the things that I really truly believe, Pastor Pinckney, is that, you know, people really need to start seriously focusing on their health. They need to start
yes.
thinking about what they can do holistically, you know, get off of these pharmaceuticals and all of these drugs and stuff that, you know, people running around, you know, pumping their stuff up with, pumping their kids up with and all that kind of stuff. You know, start growing our own food, paying attention to what we eat and what type of holistic and nutrition that we can keep in our body when it comes down to how we're going to be able to sustain ourselves and get through this, Pastor Pinckney. And I think that's what the bottom line is. I think God is trying to get our attention, you know, start paying more closely attention to, you know, people like the Hebrew boys that, you know, that those people are out there with scientific studies on what we need to do. You know, we got doctors now that's getting away from the medical field. They going into holistic studies and scientific studies on what we need to do nutritiously to take care of ourselves. You know, that's what it's all boiling down to, how we're going to be able to, you know, get away from this poison water and food and stuff that these people want to choke down our throats.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that's magical, you know, it took us 400 years to get where we at today, and we're nowhere, you know. We're nowhere,
mm-hmm.
you know. It took us 400 years to get to where we at today, you know. And there are so many people who just don't get it, you know. And then, you know, like mm-hmm. Dr. Tucker said, you know, they have to be healed, you know, because to me, there's nothing more important than building for the future, you see, because what are you living for, you know? If you're
mm-hmm.
living just for yourself, then you're going to die for yourself. That's
mm-hmm.
how I look at it, because, you know, these folks are serious. These folks, they have a plan, executing their plan. They're doing everything they can. They will lie, cheat, steal, and kill, these devils will. And they'll do it and think nothing of it and get away with it. You see, What we have to do, we have to build a foundation that we can revolve around to make sure that we're protecting each other from these devils, because they are out there whether we like it or not. They're there. They're there, and they have declared war on us. We're just not fighting the war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. And we're dealing with these people like they're our friends. They're not your friend. They're not your friend. So that's what this is all about. So, yeah, I agree 100% that we, you know, we got to get better. We got to get so much better. And I'm hoping that 2022 be better for everybody, Belinda Parker Brown, because we got to change. You know, we can't fight like we did in 2021. You know, the ground rules have changed. So now we got to go into 2022 with a different plan and a way to deal with these people. So there, you know, here's the funny part. They know what to do. They know for a few dollars more, they can divide us up.
Right.
You see? And that's the tool in their toolbox that they use against us. So we have to make sure that they're not allowed to use that tool that's in that box. But listen, Belinda Parker Brown, you got about 60 seconds. Tell us what you want people to know, and we got to move on. And next week, it'll be same time, same thing. Anybody who I didn't get, I had a whole lineup of folks who wanted to get on today, but I had to bring in my hitters so they can get on there, because we want to make sure that everything is peaches and cream. Let's do it. Talk to me what you want people to know. Real as fast as you can get it done, that'll make me happy. Let's do it.
Well, great, Pastor Pinckney. What I would like for people to do is go to my website at www.launitedi.org and read about AUI, America United International. And actually, they can Google it, just, you know, spell it out, America United International. Read about that. And also, I'm looking forward to inviting a special guest to your show, Pastor Pinckney. I can't wait to introduce you to Jeff Brown. He has a product out that can reverse any known disease if people can really start organizing and mobilizing and thinking about how they're going to take care of themselves and sustain themselves for the fight. Thank you, Pastor Pinckney. Have a great day.
All right. And that was my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown. And I tell you, you know, it's just amazing how we just do the things that need to be done to make things happen. And I want to close by bringing in my good friend, the one and only, you know, that we have, because I think it's important that we do what needs to be done. God is able to do all things. There's nothing too hard for him to do. But we have to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do to make this happen. But anyway, I'm going to close by saying we are at war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. And it's time that each and everyone stand up and be accountable. Be accountable for their words, their action, and inaction. We have to draw the line in the sand. On that note, next week, same time, same station. See you all there.